after we talked about David, who did we talk about? The horrible name, right? Who in the world would name their child Mephibosheth? I have no idea except Jonathan and his wife. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll start. God bless our time together. Thank you for your word, for the stories and the lessons that are there. Please help us learn and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we talked about David and Jonathan and a promise they made as young soldiers to do what? What was the promise they made?
They would kill them.
They would
honor the males. They would kill the males of the new king.
Okay, now that was the tradition, that you killed all the male descendants of the king, and they said, nope, we're not going to do that. They also promised to take care of each other's families, whoever survived. And who survived? Well, King David did. Jonathan died in a battle. His young son Mephibosheth was hurried away when the news came because they killed all the male descendants of the dead king. So in the nurse's hurry to get him out, somebody tripped and Mephibosheth fell on probably the nice soft stone steps and was thereafter crippled for his life. So David becomes king now that Saul's gone, and for about 15 or 20 years, nothing happens regarding this man. David conquers and does all kinds of good things, and it finally shows up in 2 Samuel, about verse chapter 9. He says, is there anybody left from Jonathan's family? Turns out there is one boy, and his name is Mephibosheth, the crippled boy. And where does he live? He lives as far away from Jerusalem as you can get, into a place called Lodabar. Lo means no, and Debar means pasture. So this is a deserted place. You can't even raise animals on it. And he lives in probably a boarding house there, so he doesn't even own his property. Now, King David wants to do this man something good according to his promise. The man does not know that. Till one day a soldier shows up at the door and says, King David wants to see Mephibosheth. Does he live here? Mephibosheth did not know the promise that David and Jonathan made. What did he think? I'm going to go back and get executed. Didn't work out that way. King David said, Mephibosheth, because you're Jonathan's son, here's what I'm going to do for you. First of all, I'm going to give you back all your grandfather's property. That would be King Saul's property. Second, you get to come live in the palace. And third, you will eat at my table. I will treat you as my son. Mephibosheth is on the floor in front of him and cannot believe what he's hearing. He was sure he'd be executed, and instead he won the lottery. So, King David knew that he was obviously crippled, and so he assigned a man to take care of all that property for him. The man's name was Ziba. He was to take care of all of Saul's land, give the prophets to Jonathan, to Mephibosheth, and that was his responsibility according to the king. Did you ever wonder what kind of trouble they would have had keeping track of records? Of who owned what property? King says, all right, you now have all of Saul's property. Somebody's going to have to go through all the records and change that all. And a little later, he changes his mind, and now you have to do it again. Anyway, so Ziba's the man who's supposed to take care of it. His actions later on will show that he's one of those people that you can't trust. He was selfish, he was jealous of other people's stuff, and he wanted it for himself. You would never have known that at first, and there's a lot of people like that. Comes out a few years later when David has to leave the palace because his son Absalom is leading a revolt to overthrow him as king and be king himself. So David had to leave Jerusalem to still be alive. Now, this was the time when Ziba shows his true colors. Evidently, he wasn't happy about having to take care of all Mephibosheth's property. And he saw this rebellion as a chance to take advantage of this situation. Here's a chance to get rid of Mephibosheth. Here's a chance to get all of his property for myself. And he cooked it up very carefully. So, David is leaving the palace. 2 Samuel 16:11. David passed a little beyond the summit. He's out of the city and headed east. Behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of saddle donkeys, and on them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a jug of wine. A ways down the road from Jerusalem, Ziba comes to meet David after cleaning out Safeway, Costco, and Fred Meyer. He brings 200 loaves of bread, raisins, food, and wine. Now, what does he do? He butters up David, saying, "These supplies are for you on your unplanned trip." Proverbs, according to David's son Solomon, says, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." Proverbs 18:16. So King David stopped him with all this stuff and says, "Why do you have all this stuff?" 2 Samuel 16:2. The king said to Ziba, "Why do you have these?" Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride. The bread and the summer fruit are for the young men to eat, and the wine is forever for whoever is faint in the wilderness to drink." David asks him, "What about Mephibosheth?" And Ziba lies to him, plain and simple. Then, when he's done lying, he slanders him to the king. The king says, "Where is your master's son?" Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" Loose translation. Oh, he's staying in Jerusalem. He's got grandiose ideas now that he's lived in the palace. He thinks if you and Absalom fight it out and you both lose, he gets it all. And he gets to be king in his grandfather's place. What Ziba is really saying is this: "David, Mephibosheth has turned on you, and you should get rid of that ingrate. And by the way, you could give me his property. Remember, I've been taking care of it for him anyway." Now, where is David? He is leaving Jerusalem, running for his life. So there isn't going to be an awful lot of places where you could get a hold of the internet and check and see about what Ziba's telling you. Is it true? So, on the spot, David believes the story. He didn't know what kind of a fellow Ziba was. He believes the story. And according to 2 Samuel 16:4, the king said to Ziba, "Behold, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." Ziba said, "I prostrate myself. Let me find favor in your sight, O Lord, my king." Finish the buttering. Okay? So now, what has happened? Everything that belonged to Mephibosheth, went to Ziba, and Ziba says, yes, I got it. Solomon again, a bribe is a charm in the sight of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. At least that's what he thought. So Ziba finally got his wish and stomped all over Mephibosheth. David's already upset over Absalom taking over the kingship, and he's crushed to think that Mephibosheth would be so ungrateful after all he did for him. David had given him so many things, and now he stopped right there. You know what? Sometimes you can give a lot to people, and instead of them being grateful, they say, what have you done for me lately? Or they turn on you. They expect more and they're critical of you, or they stab you in the back. However, this is not the case with Mephibosheth, and we will see that a little later. The real truth in this case shows up after Absalom's rebellion fails and David is coming back to Jerusalem. David's army defeated Absalom. You remember how Absalom died? Does anybody know? He was escaping because his army was defeated, and Absalom was a very good-looking guy and vain, and he had very long hair. And the donkey he was riding under went under an oak tree, and his hair got caught in the branches. And the donkey went on, and Absalom was there hanging by his hair, and he couldn't get down. David's general said, I know how to fix this. The way you solve rebellion is you take care of the rebel. And so he did. He took three darts, and that was the end of Absalom. So now David's on his way back to the palace, and guess who he meets when he gets back? There is Mephibosheth. Here's what the scripture says. Then Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither cared for his feet, trimmed his mustache, or washed his clothes from the day the king departed until he came home in peace. What does that tell you? This was a custom of that time to be in mourning for what had happened. And he said, I'm not going to do anything for my benefit at all because this is awful. So, it was when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, oh, my lord, the king, my servant deceived me. Your servant, that would be me, said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame. Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore do whatever is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right do I have that I should complain any more to the king? Mephibosheth says, I wanted to go, I planned to go, I made arrangement to go. Ziba saddled the donkeys, and then he took off on them and left me there. I couldn't saddle one myself, so he left me. Then he slandered me to you and told you that I wanted to be king. Now, David doesn't know who's telling the truth. Was Mephibosheth telling the truth, or was Ziba telling them the truth? But he could have said, Mephibosheth, you could have come if you really wanted to. You get other places. You should have endangered your life to get out here with me. And after what Ziba told him, why did you turn on me after all I did for you? But David doesn't say anything like that. Instead, he says, 2 Samuel 19:29, the king said to him, "Why do you speak of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land." So what he says is, I'm not sure who's telling the truth, you or Ziba. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each half. That way, you're still taken care of, and if he's telling the truth, so is he, and I don't know how to sort it out. David still has some compassion for a guy who, from the circumstances that are related by Ziba, certainly doesn't deserve it. However, Mephibosheth's response is the key. Mephibosheth's response to David after losing half his property to the guy who lied about him and slandered him. What does he say? 2 Samuel 19:30. Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come home safely to his own house." Mephibosheth's response to being taken advantage of to David says, "You are like an angel of God for what you've done for me. You do whatever you think is right in this situation. I am and always have been nothing, yet you accepted me as your son. I have no right to complain, so I won't. And I will be happy to accept whatever you say or do regarding this situation." That's what he says to David. What does he say about himself? "As far as I'm concerned, you may give all the property to Ziba. I don't care.